CliffCentral.com. Ah, CliffCentral.com on a Thursday morning. Thursdays are reserved for the burning platform, the Benning in Tlemaza and Ace Magashule.
No, today is a crossover.
It's a crossover.
It's a truth to power.
Yeah.
Truth to power, burning platform crossover.
Uh-huh. This is what people have been waiting for. Well, I'll tell you what, you are one of the most in-demand people we've had, because our audience tell us who they want to hear from.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. Grab that microphone. You haven't been on radio for a long time. You're a bit closer.
I miss radio.
Here he is, Professor Ohopot.
That's an old story, man.
Yeah, because you are ungovernable.
He is ungovernable. He kept calling me the whole night last night. I thought my name was controversial on his show. He's like, you are so controversial.
Yeah, controversial talk show host.
Did we say anything controversial last night? I don't think so. Your producer afterwards was like, you guys.
Yeah, you said you don't have manners. That's the most controversial thing you said yesterday. And you defeated me, because once somebody accepts that, no, well, maybe I don't have. What do you say after that? You can't say, no, you must have manners.
Well, I enjoyed being
you
on your show.
You were defeated?
I was. Because I thought he was going to, you know, clamp up and say, no, and be defensive. No, he says, well, maybe.
If you got me the 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When everything was still so serious and I had to make a point, and it was all ego and bluster, and then maybe
It would have been a disaster.
Yeah, you could have had me for breakfast. But
broken the internet.
I'm not, there's not a lot that gets me fired up and angry anymore.
Is that so? I think I'm beginning to feel the same way, because
it's bad, right?
I've been renting since 2016. And if I tried to make an audit of how many rents people did something after them, I would be disappointed, you know.
Well,
renting is still good. Because I think there's a thing. South Africans, babu iman. We have a fear. South Africans have a fear of, and maybe it's manners, ne? Maybe people have good manners, so they don't want to rattle. Politeness is too polite.
You got to be careful that politeness doesn't go into patronizing, kind of talking past the point, euphemism.
Listen,
you know, when people, politeness. We don't actually address things because we're so scared of upsetting each other. South Africans actually don't like conflict.
Politeness is the highest form of disrespect.
It's true. Let me confess something. So I got this segment called The Rant, okay?
It's called the rent.
It's called JJ's rent.
That's what
it's called. Yeah. So let's say I rant about Cliff and say this guy's racist and whatever. But when he's my guest, I can't rant to him in his face. That would be rude.
Mm.
Imagine if I start shouting at you and you are in front of me. I can't. I have to now switch to a mode of saying, Cliff, can you just tell me what do you think? Why do people think you are like this?
Mm.
Right, and then let you talk, and we have a conversation. Mm. So people expect that if I have ranted about Tiwas Ngcesi and called him incompetent, when he visits my show, I must tell him in your face, you are incompetent.
You are incompetent.
No. I'm sorry. In an Indian television station, there is somebody who does that and literally picks some points at the guest. I can't. People refuse to come to my show.
But so,
or they'll cry, they'll run off.
Listen, I haven't let somebody walk out of my studio. I thought you would walk out, and I failed.
Me?
Yeah, you know.
I was so happy. I was at home. It was nice to see you.
But by the way,
I just want to congratulate JJ. It's been 3 years of that show.
And he's held on to it.
And you've done a superb job. And it is so important in this country, now more than ever, that we have places where people can hold politicians' feet to the fire.
Listen, I must tell you, ENC has been fantastic. They have literally just left me alone to do my own thing. But you know that in the South African media, the sustainability of that is always questionable. My contract is ending in 2 months.
Well, that's why we're having you on this morning to remind them they mustn't let go of a good thing.
No, it's ending in 2 months. You know, and with the media every year. You know, they give you a 1 year contract and you come so that they can keep you, you know, on a leash. That's unfortunately how the media works.
I was so relieved when my contract was over for a year. I was so relieved to get out.
Serious?
Again, that's why I admire you for doing it as long. It's hard work. People don't realize how difficult it is. You're doing three shows a week.
I was just saying, you know, it can be unsustainable at some point. And also because it's a, how can I put it? People understand, but it's a spiritual show in a sense, because I try in those rants to say what I believe. It's not a scripted thing. Sometimes my producer doesn't even know what I'm going to say. Sometimes I also, at some point, don't know how I'm going to couch the thing. I just know the theme. I'm going to talk about Lesedja, right? And I've got my points. I've prepared. But now the delivery can be something that goes into another realm where I really just say what comes from my heart. I'm not there to try and impress anybody. I'm not there to try and make sure that the bosses are not too upset, or whoever I'm talking about is not going to, when I meet me in the corridor, what they're going to, I don't think about those things. That's why I've always said, I consider every show my last one, because I'm not there thinking, if I say this, I may lose my job tomorrow. No, to hell with that.
I said to you last night, that's how you know you're free, right? You're one of the few free people in the world. You go on, you say what's on your mind, you worry about the consequences afterwards. Most people have so many filters and gates before they can say anything.
But do you think that describing it as spiritual, this experience, do you think that short stint that you had in the political realm was less free for you than you are now in this space?
No. I was very free in the political realm. That's why I left when I wanted to. I was very free, and that was part of the trouble. So, you know, the coup experience in 2000 was just extraordinary. You know, I just, you know, so you get to a meeting and the whole meeting stops because you wrote an article in the Sunday Times and the president is furious and says, why is this guy writing? You know, I should be saying these things. I said, why don't you say them? No. But nobody has written. Write for yourself. No, but this guy can't write like this. And so on. So Terra Lokota used to be, you know, just extraordinary. And until, you know, the late Muleleki Jot said to me one day, which woman is it?
What?
That's all he said. He said, wow. You and Terra must be fighting over somebody. It cannot be that we sit in a meeting and have to deliberate on your articles. And by the way, at COPE, if it was not Philip Dexter, it was me writing. All the other people had to wait for us to draft for them so that they write under their names, which is called ghostwriting.
Where's Monsieur Lokota these days? What's he up to?
She's recovered from a stroke. And you know, I had him on my show, and then, you know, he couldn't remember certain things. And then he said, oh, by the way, I had a stroke. I said, I apologize. I have no idea. I would not have put you through that. But he seems to have recovered and is expelling half of his executive. The Dennis Bloom has just resigned last week. You know,
where's Colleen? What a bride. She's
the speaker of Johannesburg, a solo member of COPE and ends up being a speaker. That's your nature. That's the state of your Johannesburg. But she's a bright person. I mean, I was very impressed. She was on my show 2 weeks ago. And frankly, I was impressed. And I had not invited her for a long time because, you know, I just thought, you know, how do you become a speaker when you have one seat? Because I was, and it was really.
Because you are a political animal.
It was because out of concern for her, really. Because in politics, you need a caucus. You understand? You need people who can bounce ideas with and say, hey, what are we going to say? What are we going to do? How are we going to put it? You strategize. Now she's alone. She's running the whole bloody place. I said, how do you do this?
And she survived. She survived an ousting. I like the way he survived.
He says it's out of concern. He gets
no, because I quite like her. I like Colleen Makubele. I really do. You know, I haven't gotten around to profiling her in one of my magazines. I edit a magazine called Leadership Magazine, by the way, and another one called Black Business Quarterly. So I always try to look for interesting people who can inspire others, you know, to get things done when it's impossible. This, I think she deserves a cover, but, you know, unfortunately, my covers are full for the next year. No, they aren't.
So let's talk about some of the things that are going on in the news this week, because everybody's talking about yesterday's launch of ACT, ACT, Ace Magashule.
They're hoping to get some votes from Action
for
SA.
Transformation.
What is it called?
African Congress for Transformation. It's like more like ATM.
Yeah, I remember ATM. That was
African Transformation Movement.
There was a rumor
that Ace was involved in its formation.
Yeah, that is.
Well, he certainly used used his position as an ATM. That's for sure.
That's right.
Political musical chairs.
I don't hold out. I said to JJ last night, I don't hold out much hope for this this Ace Magashule thing. I think it's failure to launch. It's 2-3 years too late. There was a time where he had some political capital to spend. He doesn't have any anymore.
Listen, he's going to have one seat in parliament at least.
That's all he needs, really. He just needs to secure
80,000 votes or less. I don't know where it is now. Apparently, it's about 50,000 votes to get one seat. So he should be able to get 50,000 sympathizers who will make sure that he's in parliament. He's not out of pocket. He's got a salary.
Very much like UDM.
And then his friends, he left his friends there over the ends. He will make fun of him every day in parliament. It's okay, really. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. But he can get even an extra seat, I think, from the Free State. Don't undermine his reach because he's been a warlord. Okay, maybe the warlord is extreme. But, he's run the Free State for years.
I don't know if it's extreme, though. I mean, what did they used to call him? Like a shotgun
premier. Yeah.
That's what they used to call him because he was all over the place and he was just... But also don't undermine what patronage can do for you, exactly. which he no longer has.
Yes, but remember he's planted the seed of that patronage for years. So there are certain people who are grateful. You know, I had a big argument with somebody who said to me, he took many people to school and so on. And I said, yeah, but have you interrogated that? Because apparently some of those kids were taken to school. Halfway through, they were chased out.
They were chased saying out of that, the
where
countries.
Is the money for the bursary? But I'm sure it's not all the people that were given bursaries who did not benefit. All I'm saying is I'm just making that as one example. Then there's tenders, okay? He's managed to keep his hands clean. I won't be surprised if he gets away with that court case of corruption because he signs nothing. It's one of those people who sign nothing.
That's clever.
But say to you, sign here. Tell somebody else to sign.
Yeah.
You know, and deliver things in bags and whatever. So those remnants of that patronage may come in handy for those 50 seats that he needs for parliament.
You can call in favors.
You see those individuals who follow you because of what you have to give them.
Yeah.
Give on the very same people who stop answering your call when you are no longer the person signing off or getting the thing. And that's where I think Ace may have
overstated. It's true. But what I'm saying to you is that it's not everyone who he benefited and got something back. And this may be the time, right? I'm telling you, this argument I had 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago with somebody who said, yeah, but, you know, my cousin, whatever, was given a bursary, etc. And then they were surprised when I said, no, but some of those bursaries were fake, right? So you can expect that he wouldn't have started the party if he didn't think he too still had a chance to even get at least one seat so that he's in Cape Town.
So what's going to happen to Bernie and Tlemeza then?
I have no idea how some of these people think. They think on the extreme side or they seem to be living in a parallel universe. So you are, you know, getting hot under the collar that Bernie Tlemeza was corrupted. I mean, the things that they say he did, you know, that includes, you know, attempted murder.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
So, listening into people's phone calls. And
you know, people used to say hello. When they say hello, Cliff, say hello, Tlemeza.
First, before they say hello. Because
listening to your calls.
I remember that time.
Wow.
So maybe Ace needs that underworld that Tlemeza is probably still in charge of to make it ahead. I don't know. Because also maybe he needs Tlemeza to make sure that the ANC doesn't rig the elections.
Well, which I suppose is a good time to segue into talking about the Electoral Act.
Yes.
It did come up briefly when we were talking.
Yeah, I call it a dog's breakfast.
It is a dog's breakfast because you spoke about Musi Maimane and when he had ambitions to reform the way that we do elections. Mm. more of a constituency-based system.
He's still,
we had him on. You've had him on before. Yeah.
He's still holding out.
Yeah, he's fighting in constitutional the good fight. Court now. Yeah. But I don't think the constitutional court had an appetite to go and, in a sense, shake things up around the elections. Because I said the elections are coming. It's going to be a mess. Can't we just go through this coming elections and we can sort out things? And then the other argument is now you are putting people in parliament who are never going to make those changes.
They have no reason to make those changes.
Because what parliament has done now is what we call malicious compliance. Mm-hmm. So the constitutional court says, listen, make it possible for independence to stand. They say, oh, all right. They will contest the 200 seats. You know, and if you are somewhere in Matubatuba you just look, KZN is your constituency with 8 million people. So go figure. And by the way, you need more signatures than a political party to be an independent. Good luck. Bye-bye. You know, it's malicious compliance.
Like the numbers are astounding to me. Like almost 13,500 signatures you need as an independent in order to be able to say, you can stand. You have to get 13,500
But political parties don't need that.
Signatures.
Why make political parties,
submit 1,000?
Yeah, and then it should be the other way around. The political parties have the machinery, they have the branches, they've got the resources, they are even funded by the taxpayer.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're only expected to just get 1,000 to get in.
No, but only some are funded by the taxpayer. So how will
we shouldn't fund any of them. It should be like in many democracies around the world where they have to do their own fundraising. Shouldn't come out of the state coffers for anything that isn't already state stuff, like you are spending on the public, you know, and you're spending on the public good. So you asked me a question yesterday, and I want to ask you the same thing because I'm lazy. We were talking about social cohesion.
Yes.
And we were talking about the issues that get South Africans inflamed and fired up and all of that stuff. So it's easy to distract us. We know this, right?
Yeah.
We can have Thabo.
The Rugby World Cup.
Yeah. We can have this serial killer who's in
Thabo Bester
and Nandi Magudumana. Yeah. And we can have their case. And suddenly everyone's, let's watch this.
Yeah.
And then there'll be, Julius says something at the EFF's
rally.
10th,
yeah.
Kill the farmer. Yeah. And then we're suddenly looking at that.
Yeah. 2 weeks then, of discussion.
And then pala-pala happens. And then we're distracted by that. But none of those three things I've just spoken about have any effect on most people's day-to-day lives. None. And the stuff that does, like the Electoral Act, people, they glaze over.
Don't care.
They don't pay attention to this stuff. Most people in this country have no idea what the difference is between a party list and a constituency-based system. And maybe they're right. So you have the job, like I do and Pumi does, of trying to explain to people what we think is important. Many people get it. Let's give credit where it's due.
Mm.
A lot of smart people in this country. But when you talk like you do about the Reserve Bank or about economic policy, most people just go, whoosh. So how do we get everybody activated? How do we get people to the polls, first of all? Because we know that's important.
Yeah.
If these politicians don't have a mandate, then they can't claim to govern. So how do we get them there, first of all? And second of all, what are the things that you think we care about that we're not talking about?
Look, I think South Africans have not linked poor performance or their daily struggles, such as potholes, robots that don't work. And so they have not,
them
they
not
don't
working.
Manage to link these things with a vote. When the vote comes, they seem to sort of switch off from their promise and say, hey, let's make sure that our people are in power and that's it. We'll see the rest tomorrow. So they will vote for them today, and next week they say there are no clinics, and they march, and they even ban the clinic that they have, right? So they have not linked the things, right? Even if you look at the elections, the election results of 2021, where the ANC got 45%. People still think, no, that was just a fluke. They don't see there's a trend of people being fed up and slowly, slowly changing this thing I'm talking about of not linking my problems, the rates that are being taken up.
So that goes to the argument of voting. It had to get worse for people
before
to realize.
It gets better.
Okay, so are we at the bottom now?
We're not yet at the bottom, but yet. This is why.
Oh, Pumi, don't say that.
No, we're not yet at the bottom, and
oh, God.
Every opportunity I get, I will say this. Part of our problem is the fact that we also have a private sector that is willing to prop up a failing government. You know, so we have.
They're in cahoots.
315
the unions
CEOs
and the politicians.
Of prominent companies in this country coming together and signing an agreement that says we are going to help the president. Like the president is not a president of a political party that has gotten us to where we are. And so what they are doing is by propping him up and propping the party up and helping with service delivery in as they see it, they are delaying the bottoming out where people get to a place where they say,
because they
these
see
people
that,
are fucked up and they must go.
All right, but they, but they're being so greedy in that case that they're thinking
yeah,
only of the short
term,
the short term greed that they can make money out of this. And propping up, as you say, it's a good term because we know who these people are.
We know who these people are.
And they're also the ones that try to sell this positive message. And meanwhile, Pumi's got a point. They're doing more damage than good. Do you agree?
Look, I never thought I would say this, but in February, I got to listen to Ibrahim Padel because I've been wondering, what is this thing of social compact? And I've even in my one of my shows said, social compact, my foot, man. Don't come and tell me about social compact. You're not delivering. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. He explained it in a way that I began to look at it different, to say the problem in South Africa is so big, okay? We're in such a mess that no one sector can solve it. So you can go and say, oh, me and Cliff, let's just be on our corner and do our thing and brighten the corner where you are and what have you. That's not going to solve your problem because you've got a big debt burden. I mean, I can't even fathom what it is that... what you have to pay back
big
the money.
Number, big number.
It's a huge number. You're not going to sort it out by being in your own little corner alone. Secondly, if you look at social service, let's just look at education. I mean, I told our we spend per capita more than any country in the world on education. But the results are the,
nothing,
worst,
the worst
in the
results,
world.
Yeah.
No, literally, it's not a
no,
euphemism.
It's like not hyperbole.
Our kids can't read.
They say
they can't read for me. They can't read. That's it, period. You understand? And it's an assessment where
I promise you I'm not laughing because I like this. I'm laughing because it's so goddamn devastating.
Yeah, so now Patel says and explains it well that in a problem that big, right, no government, you can elect whatever government you want, it's still going to fail unless we all pull together, right? And do our part in all the corners where we are, right? So in the media, you do your part because that's where you've got influence. If somebody is in the teaching profession, instead of sleeping with children and making them pregnant as a teacher, Jesus. Can you just sort that out?
Yeah.
In the justice system, instead of justifying that your teachers are sleeping with kids and turning a blind eye, can we just have one person who is actually in prison because of statutory rape? Just one. I've been asking for this one person.
Yeah,
I asked,
right.
Who did I ask? One of the ministers. I think it was Muzualedi or somebody. Or no, not Muzualedi, Patla, the Minister of Health. Don't give me statistics that 90,000 kids are pregnant. Well, pregnant by who? By Holy Spirit.
And these people just carry on being teachers.
Yeah.
But so
no, they go and pay the family and say, keep quiet.
No, but Mamel, I hear that. That the problem is big and no one what.
Yeah.
But the biggest part of our problem is that we have in place ministers, a lot of DGs and all sorts
of
people.
We have a lot of ministers and DGs and deputy ministers.
70.
Who are beholden
to
a particular party policy.
Yes.
That even as you try and do your best,
they
are deliberately trying to break the system.
Yeah. Then vote them out.
Vote those people out.
Yeah. But if you once you fail to vote them out, which you have, remember 2019, we were all in a frenzy saying this is it, this is going to be Uhuru, and then we still came up with the three parties at the top. Once you've now. That cycle has come and gone, and you have those people. Then you've got an obligation democratically to work with them until you vote them out. So next year, we have another opportunity to vote them out. I doubt we're going to vote them out, by the way, because they have DA, and thanks to the DA, because they, instead of saying, let's have a government of national unity, bring everybody together so that we can have an alternative. They say, no, we're not going to work with these red ones. It's Rui Gevaar. Just run away. This is the enemy. And then they were going to get some, you know, generally named party. I'm not sure what they are called. We've never heard of them. They don't even have one vote in their lives.
It has something to do with an NP.
Yeah.
There's an NP. And
National Party.
Something.
Yeah. Rework. What is it? When the song is done.
Four deputies. Did I tell you this? They've got four deputies. Yes. They've got a white deputy.
Yes, the Indian.
Anyway, those people. They are going to fail. They are not going to get to 30%. Okay? And then all that thing, they are fighting for the best opposition seat. This is bad because the way things are so bad, we should be saying, guys, we're in trouble. Let's all pull together some sort of a government of national unity, right? And get the best person out of all these parties, right? The best people to actually do something with their professional skills, with their intelligence, with their, you know, IQ and all of these things that seems to be lacking in some of the ministers who have been ministers since 1994, and they don't get tired because they don't have to do much work. I mean, how do you keep an Angie Motshekga in office 15 years as if they are doing fantastic work? You have to keep them in the entire country. You can't find a minister of education who can make sure that, you know, children don't drown in toilets. Just okay, before you get to the curricula. Can kids not drown in a toilet?
But she's been there, you're right, 15 years.
Yeah. She in a company should get a watch. A long service. A long service watch. No, guys, no, we're in a mess. So we don't vote. First of all, there are people who don't vote. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Extraordinary number, I think 15, huge, who are registered to vote. I'm not talking about those who have not even registered. I'm talking about the ones who are registered, who said, I won't bother, it's too cold, it's too hot, I can't go, I'm going to take a bright day off. Oh, they're saying it's a holiday, fine, I'm not going to vote. And the same people will be in the streets burning down the place, saying, to hell, this government is useless.
But this is also people not showing up to vote. Is also a failure of all the opposition parties, because they are not firing up the people enough to come and vote for them. So people would rather not vote for any one of them. If they're not willing to vote for the ANC, they would rather not show up to vote. They don't even want to give those people. And that's on them too.
But maybe, and here's the very scary conclusion you could come to, is that maybe people in this country actually don't believe in democracy. Mm. Because if they don't, what are the scary alternatives to that? Like if this democracy thing for another election proves to be inconclusive, and we end up with these same clowns in parliament and in cabinet and in the executive, then what are people maybe asking for?
No, we need a catastrophe.
Oh, please don't say this. Isn't it already a catastrophe?
No, you see, like the pseudo-earthquake we had this morning.
It wasn't a pseudo-earthquake. It was in my neighborhood that I felt it. It wasn't pseudo. It was real.
It was pseudo because I just saw it on WhatsApp. But all I'm saying is, it's not something that will get people into the streets and pour. You see what happened today with the Arab Spring? People didn't think that could happen, right? So we mustn't be also dismissive of this catastrophe I'm talking about that is required. Maybe that's what we need. And maybe that catastrophe will jolt people to say, hey, it's going to be bad for our children. It's going to be bad for our next generations. We have not had that catastrophe. People are just going about their lives. You know, that's why we've always said the unemployment rate in this country is a time bomb. But that sounds like a cliche. It's a time bomb. Okay, what does that actually mean?
Mm.
You know, does it mean that like the capitalist city coming to a standstill because workers are not paid what they is due to them, or a mine coming to a standstill for 5 weeks because I'm asking for 12,000 rand, and the next person is earning 300 million. He could even take his own money and stop that strike. If out of the 300 million, you just took 10 million and say, I'm going to give each of you a bonus of 2,000. I don't know, because those numbers, you know, I've not had such numbers in my bank account like some of you, Cliff. If you look at these nice studios you have, oh, congratulations, but it looks very nice. You understand? So I don't know what is the wage gap between you and your lowest paid worker. Okay, not you, but in person. But I'm just saying.
Yeah,
people talk about those things as time bombs, but they don't internalize what that actually means, right? And it often happens in a little corner. So this month, this year, it will be Sibanye having a problem. CEO is earning 300 million, and the lowest paid worker is earning nothing after deductions. And then they let them suffer there on the corner. It becomes just a news item. Next week is Tswane. So imagine if in every little corner of the country, something like this happened and the country just came to a standstill and said, we need a new government. Right? Is that the catastrophe we need before people wake up and say, let me just go and vote and maybe my vote will make a difference? I'm not calling for insurrection.
Careful.
Yet.
No. Yet. Yeah, I like that. You just did a Julius. You said, yet.
That's also, but it is also considering who the people are. So one of the things that we don't often talk enough about as South Africans is when you look at the South African population, if you look at all 60 million of us, or depending on what, when the numbers finally come out for the 2022.
Yeah, I think it was census, 70 million plus Zimbabweans.
When the numbers finally come out, we don't know when they'll be coming out, but when they do, when Rusenga finally graces us with his presence at work and gives us those numbers. And the fact that the median age in South Africa is 27.
Mm-hmm.
And consider who those people are and where they are and what they are doing. That is why when you have a conversation about the Electoral Act, people glaze over. And then when you have a Uncle Waffles burger special, there is much excitement.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? When you talk about black coffee slapping somebody.
Yeah, suddenly it's all news for like a week. Yeah.
That is what we actually also have to consider. The fact that the majority of the people, the biggest number of people who aren't showing up to vote, who aren't even registered to vote, are kids. And we're not having the conversations that those kids.
You talk about a catastrophe. And I think, you know, it's important also, people have a very short memory. So Congo Chris says, how many more do we need? Marikana, the Bree Street explosion, the cholera pandemic, Eskom.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of catastrophes.
Yeah, but those are happening in little boxes, right?
And are we too resilient?
We are, and that's wrong. You understand? How do you have a cholera? I mean, I'm sure even in the West countries that have poor infrastructure and so on, they've gotten rid of cholera in the 60s and 70s.
Mm.
We have cholera here, 30 people die. And then those people gather in a stadium and ululate for the president.
And let's remember that cholera. This broke out in a DA-controlled municipality in Pretoria, right?
Yeah.
So that's something to think about too, because everyone goes, you know, well, if it was another party, but that's another party.
Yeah.
No, it's not the political party that puts the cholera in the water.
That's true, but we need to dig deeper.
I agree.
Because the DA has just been there for 2 minutes.
Sure.
This thing, and I already said in Haman's Kraal, it's been a thing there about the fact that the water is so bad that half the kids there grow up with brown teeth.
Jeez.
It didn't start last week, right? So it's an accumulation of neglect over years. Right, and I'm not saying the DA then is come out shining, because actually when they got into power, they were given a report that said the water in Haman's Kraal is not fit for human consumption, and this was already 5 years ago. But by that time already, it was already not fit for human consumption. So the question is, what were the people who were in power there for 30 years doing? So That one irritates me when the ANC comes tries to say, "Oh no, this terrible thing," and then it comes out that one of their funders stole money that was meant to do the cleaning works, or what is it called?
The waterworks.
The waterworks there. This so-called sordi chap, corrupt to the core, and then steals money for asbestos, as if that's not enough. Not enough people are dying from that. He goes and steals money that gets people dying of cholera, and then takes the proceeds and gives them to the ruling party. And then there's no insurrection. In Mututu, where I was born, there's no water. And then the councillors sell the water to the citizens.
And they
because
they
are in the business of water. So instead of fixing the water, it's better for them if it's not fixed, because then it's revenue for them with the water tankers that are attend. Why is there no revolution over this?
Yeah, why but do people do tolerate people, this stuff?
What do the people...
Are we so browbeaten? Have we been so damaged by our past in this country that we're willing to tolerate any kind of abuse from our parents or the government? Is this how bad it is?
That's how bad it is. That's why I'm saying we need a catastrophe. We need something that can affect all of us, you know, almost at the same time. And where we all say enough is enough. That moment seemed not to have arrived. Marikana, fine. So, you know, it sounds bad. 35 people died, but it's in Marikana. Half of the people don't even know where Marikana is. If it's a point Marikana, they will point south. So, they don't even know where it is. They think it's some notional thing. And then what's worse is that you've got a president who has never been there for 11 years and doesn't think anything wrong of it. They have a reason. Yesterday, the presidential spokesman said, no. He's caught between a rock and a hard place because there are people who actually don't want him to go there, while others want him to go there, etc. So even, you know, on a compassionate level, we've got a heartless situation, a heartless government in instances.
And then they pay the family's money and they think that makes it better.
So I JJ does this then, you know, considering what the landscape looks like. Again, coming to all the number of people who've put their hands up to say that they, 2024, they feel they could do a better job, different job. Do you have then no hope when you see a Mashaba, a Songhezo, a, you know?
Yeah, and all of them, my friends, really. I just pity that they are going to muddy themselves, unfortunately.
How so?
Because they are going to, the same way, how did Mampila Rampila muddy herself? She was one of the best civil society leaders not so long ago. In fact, she had a full movement. And if she spoke, I remember she used to have this whole issue about the outcome-based education thing as her pet subject. The Minister of Education would shake in her boots if Mampela is going to talk about OBE. Right? That's how respected she was. Then she decided to kiss
Helen Zille.
And things went south from there. She formed a political party and left it halfway, half-baked, and what have you. There's something which taints you immediately, unfortunately, in our current political landscape. I'm not saying that these other people will make a difference. But unfortunately, it's, you know, Mashaba maybe will get 10 seats, 20 seats. I don't know. Songhezo maybe get 2 or 3 seats. And it looks like he may get more seats. But not enough to actually change things, right, overall. So that's why I'm saying we need... And I thought that the idea that John Stein hasn't had about the moonshot and so on was a good idea executed badly.
How so?
Because he started off by saying, we're going to exclude so-and-so. You exclude the third biggest party in parliament, you know, expect to get to 50. How? I mean, unless it's affecting him that he didn't go to school, then he can't calculate that actually you need 50 plus one. And in order to do that and take the ANC out because it's damaging things so much, you need to have a broader coalition than the people you like, right?
But was the idea not doomed by the fact that they came out and spoke about it to begin with? I mean, when I look at their coalition that they came out of Kempton Park with a couple of weeks ago, the first thing that I thought of, and you and I come from a communication background, is I'm going, what a communication nightmare this is going to be. What are they going to be communicating to their individual constituents? Not just about what they are saying they are going to do together, but also about what they each stand for and how that falls back into the bigger picture. Yeah. But also what they've now done is they have now created one target for the ANC. all the ANC needs to do now is target just the coalition and all the people in the coalition.
That's a good point.
Whereas if there were all six of them out there fighting a different battle, suddenly the ANC would have six fronts on which to battle it out.
Yeah.
And it's impossible.
No, I don't think so. I think that there's been a conversation as far back as 2009 about what is called political realignment.
Mm.
Because the ANC is just too big to sort out as one little party in a corner, right? If, no matter how good your ideas are. So we should have, that's why I'm saying we need this, there's not catastrophic event that said to people, to hell with your colors of green, blue, whatever. We need a new government. And we probably need the government of national unity. That may have as well include the ANC, by the way. Because if the ANC gets 47%, that's a big chunk to ignore, right? But maybe it's time for them to take a break from being the driver. And that should have been the discussion. Not, oh, exclude this red one. Let's come to this corner and we'll go. How are you going to get to 51?
You said something so impressive just now. You said there is no point in negotiating and coming together with people who only agree with you.
Exactly.
You need to have the people you disagree with in there for it to be.
But that's how a government of national unity was. I mean, did you agree with the National Party? The National Party has been killing us for years, but we found the courage to say, for the sake of getting South Africa out of that mess, let's work together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't tell me 30 years down the line, you can't do that for people you have actually even worked with already. The DA and the EFF worked together in Johannesburg.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So what has changed now? So I think that and I put it in this, on my show, I put it like, when you are cooking, it's not just about the ingredients. It's about how you put them together. If you are cooking pap, you can't start by putting the pap in the pot and then pour water on it before you put the... There's a method to get to the right outcome. You can't just say, moonshot. Oh, let's see how to feel. Let's go to the moon.
Are you going to get Trevor Manuel on your show anytime?
No, don't start now. He probably won't come to my show because he's still busy in court trying to sue me. So his hands are a bit full. I don't know where this is going, but it's dragging out long enough.
It's been a long time.
I know, but that's how our courts
no,
are.
Only reason,
so which, takes who, long. Which girl is it?
No, not in this case. Yeah, not in this case.
Sure.
Yeah, there's no girl. I'm married, he's married.
So tell me about
never stops the comrades.
What did the presidential spokesperson say about BRICS? Because this was an opportunity for Cyril to flex a muscle.
No, he says they are very happy.
Looked like a big man. Yeah. And, you know.
No, but let's be honest. I think he did very well. You know, just in terms of from a diplomatic kind of repertoire. And
this is the only thing so far in his presidency you could say that about.
He did very well, quite apart from the fact that the backup, the Minister Pando, who I respect very much, and the team just made it look like a proper thing,
right.
Not a sort of a backroom little thing. And then, we may not like it, but the additional members say that the world may just be changing in terms of global power relations. If you add those, you know, oil-producing countries and leaders in their own regions, and you make a new bloc, essentially.
Yeah.
Right now, like many things in the south, right? We've got lots of ideas and fail at execution. And I hope the BRICS won't fall prey to that. Because remember, it's been 15 years of the BRICS. What can you point?
Mm.
They're only now talking about the common currency. After 15 years, what have you been talking about in 15 meetings?
Well, what they have done for South Africa, from South Africa's perspective at least, is they've created a new market for themselves. Because we import a lot of products from the BRICS countries, right? So when we think about we send minerals to China, but... once they have beneficiated those minerals,
they sell it back to us.
And what
at
we
four
export,
times the price.
This is the thing. So they've just created a new market
for
themselves.
Because Canton's not here to argue with you this morning.
Listen,
so whenever Pumi and Canton get into this thing, he's very optimistic about BRICS, and he says it's a new power block.
He is optimistic.
It's a change, and you know, this is the hegemony of the US is going to be upset finally, and the dollar might not be the only currency you could trade in internationally
in another 15 years.
Yeah. Well, Pumi's
so
point.
What's going to help?
We bring part of the people who are now the new members of BRICS.
Yeah.
Two of the most indebted countries in the world. And the first thing Argentina comes into BRICS and says is, by the way,
but that's what I'm saying about the South, that we seem to be in a pity party half the time. Mm-hmm. Can somebody please tell me, what did these guys do for 15 years? You're saying the 15th anniversary. There's no irony before. They've been this thing about the common currency could have been the discussion on year one. Oh, by the way, we joined when they've been there, called BRIC, for a long time. We just added the S to the BRIC.
Small S.
So I don't know whether at what point we joined in the 15. But all I'm saying is, you know, it's like in our country, they have fantastic policies. Try and implement them.
You said it just now. We fail in execution.
We fail in execution. So the idea of a new block, a new currency, de-dollarization, that word didn't even, they were afraid to even touch that word, de-dollarization. Right? They've given it to their finance ministers, you know, people like Odongwa. I doubt anything's going to happen in another year. If you give it to the likes of Godongwan, who's looks half asleep half the time. So if he's given such a big assignment and he's worried about whether he'll be a minister in April,
it's
not going to happen.
So besides being a great event organizer.
Yeah.
Besides being a great event organizer.
Yeah, but don't discount that. Events are a big thing. They can be a big generator of
the EFF's wonderful event.
That was a good event.
It was a good event. Mother Paul's. Being an event organizer and being a real organizer and getting real change to happen are not the same thing. So besides being a good event organizer,
but if you
what
can organize a party, what do they call it?
A piece of
party. How can you run a country? So we should also, you know, take the good with the bad, right? Yes, to fill a stadium, especially if you have bus people from all over the country. Right.
On pain of death, because remember, Julius called them out.
Pain of being fired.
Yeah, no, he was
and they are.
Fire.
No, he's
and
firing
they have
them.
Been fired.
Yes, 210 of them have been fired, which is what's missing in this country. There's no consequence management.
Fired. Right.
Right. So I hope that when they do get into power somehow, because they may get into power, let's just try to numb ourselves to that reality slowly, slowly. Right. Because and thanks to John Steenhuisen, I'm sorry. Because what John Steenhuisen has done is
why
to push the
sorry?
EFF and the ANC together. Because he made everybody sign that they'll never work with the ANC, they'll never work with the EFF. So what is the ANC's option if they get 45%? Is to go to the EFF.
They don't
who
have
probably
anything.
Will have 5 to 10%.
Yeah.
Right. So basically, this so-called doomsday scenario has been generated indirectly by the people who don't want it. So, right, let's past that and say Julius is the deputy president of the country. And
that drooping smile of yours.
It's possible because, you know, South Africa is full of possibilities.
So JP says, Prof, before you go, please speak about the politicizing of the Saab.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I argue and I wrote in the Times yesterday that once a government now interferes one way or another, directly or indirectly, with institutions that are supposed to support democracy, it's time to change that government because it means they're tired of even being constitutional about that thing. And people who are in those institutions are also tired of ducking the bullet because they think, well, I'm going to be fired. If I find this guy guilty, I'm out. Right? So I would rather just have a holding pattern. The elections are coming. Maybe I'll escape. That's when things start going wrong. In all the failed states, the media is attacked, judiciary is attacked, institutions supporting democracy are attacked. Like in Zimbabwe, where you have a ZANU elections committee instead of an independent electoral commission. Right? Those institutions now the Reserve Bank has been like a holy grail all along. Right, where it's seen as independent and resisting political pressure. They've been told since 2017 you must change your ownership. And they've just largely ignored that, etc. So when they give us a report that we must numb our intelligence to believe them, right, where they say we can have money as long as people haven't taken the goods, you can keep it for 2 years, you don't have to declare it.
But I get
it's
the
funny.
Money, but I get it. JJ, the money was a deposit.
Yeah.
And so because it was a deposit,
yeah,
there is no need for declaring. and there is no need to perfect the translation. Oh, yeah. What is wrong with
you? So then you don't need foreign exchange controls. Anybody can just have just dollars under
you. You could go and change now. Yeah. You go to your bank and
my only problem with this whole thing is that Ramaphosa did not use the dollars to pay staff at the Luthuli House. They suffered when he's sitting on dollars. He's sleeping on dollars, but people he works for don't have a salary. I would forgive him if he took that money, even if it was in dollars, and gave it to the Luthuli House.
What if it was stolen before it was supposed to arrive at Luthuli House?
Maybe, but
what if that's where
they slept on it for years before they went to go and extract it out from Namibia? So they did get it back.
What do you guys think?
But it still didn't pay staff.
What do you think of this?
Before you move on to that, I think though that this is about something that for the past couple of days, at least at my work, is something that I've been talking about because we watched all the PP public protector interviews.
Oh my God, what a disaster.
But it's not just about the politicizing of SARB, right?
Yeah.
It's about the fact that in all these institutions, you have all of, and it's cadre deployment, right? You have all of these individuals in all of these institutions that are beholden to one faction or another of this party. And because of that, everything has ground to a halt. People are either afraid to do something because they'll get fired.
I don't have a problem with cadre deployment, by the way. Absolutely.
Explain.
I don't have a problem with cadre deployment. I have a problem with bad cadres being deployed. You understand?
Yeah.
Because let's remember, Tulima Donzela was a cadre.
Yes, but it's slim
pickings.
What
did she do? Do you know that Zuma was looking for the person who recommended Tulima Donzela? Says, and that person was hiding under a rock for 7 years because they said, who gave us this lady? Was she even a member of the ANC? Right? So there are some good people. Look at what happened to SARS itself in the early years. Right? Those are cadres. Right? Look at what happened to the Treasury. You know, your likes of Trevor Manuel. Competent. He can be rude lately, but the guy was competent. He oversaw, you know, at least some growth that we can talk about today. You understand?
But where are these?
But he was a cadre. He was a deployed cadre.
Okay, but the problem is now.
You can't dismiss everybody who's a cadre.
You're not going to dismiss everybody that's a cadre. But my point being that we now sit in an environment where more and more people in almost every sector of our government are the bad apples. Yeah. Where even the good ones are afraid to step up.
Yeah, that's why we must now change the guard. Because then that guard can give us some fresh blood. Because what is happening with the institutions? Okay, let me go to the Reserve Bank and tell you a little bit. Because they were a holy grail, we don't touch them. They can't do no wrong. Let's start with VBS. Mm-hmm. VBS is a bank of rural women in Venda putting their last savings somewhere where they thought it's safe.
For many years.
Why was it not good enough for the Reserve Bank to save that bank? And save those savings of those rural women. Just not Fox cars. Just not a live boat. So don't touch. I mean, what is the... What would be... It would be a blip on the Reserve Bank's even own bank... balance sheet to have saved VBS. But they couldn't touch it. By the way, ask a question. Where was the Reserve Bank when people were transferring money of municipalities illegally to a mutual bank? Don't they have systems that beep somewhere to say there's money being transferred here and there?
We know they have systems because if you or Pumi or I underpay our tax by...
They'll be on top of
10
you.
Rand. They're on top of you. Yeah. But they can't see these millions being transferred.
But so who's ever blamed the Reserve Bank for that? Nobody. No one. You can go and Google any link of Reserve Bank and VBS. You won't find it. We are gray listed today. Mm-hmm. Who has ever blamed the Reserve Bank and its lax systems? Mm-hmm. Nigeria has 40 banks. 40 in the period that Lesedja and his team has been there. We've got banks you can count in one hand who own 95% of this economy. Have they launched a bank that is progressive or even just a bank, a black bank of people? Have they supported black businesses in the financial sector to survive? Or have they done the opposite, like they've done with this 360 global solution, who they put on curatorship for 2 years and didn't even talk to them for a full 12 months to check, how are you doing? So they were put on curatorship to shut them up and get them out, because they were thinking, who are these people? I mean, how do you trust? If and then you have a Gwamanda who even makes it worse now, and with a scam, they say, you see, you can't trust these people with money. So the Reserve Bank has gotten off lightly, right? Because we thought this is one of the ideal institutions and so on. Now, because they're tired of being that independent institution, it means that you need to change those who appoint them. And mm-hmm. this is where we now go to vote a new right. government and hope for the best that that government will give you some fresh blood. Because remember, we mustn't be too optimistic about politicians. Even the new ones can come and disappoint us. You've just talked about the DA that says we'll govern well and so on. People died in cholera under their watch in Pretoria.
Well, I think that's the most resounding message here. Listen, can't we do something? I'll come to your show every week and you come here every week. people are loving this. I mean, there's so many comments here about JJ, please come back. This is so good. We love this. So thank you very much.
No, just absolutely a pleasure. And I'll invite you again. We need a longer time.
Yes.
Yesterday was just a taste of it. I really like your perspective and your fearlessness. And your thick skin. I mean, I would sleep with one eye closed if I were insulted like you are every day, you know?
But you are.
You don't get that?
You
don't get that with your rents?
You get former ministers taking you to court.
I don't take it. Let me tell you, these people are cowards. Okay, people ask me, how can you do? What do you say when you meet these people? I said, how are you? You know? I met Tulas Ngesi after calling me incompetent. He went to the BCCSA and lost. And then I meet him at a restaurant in Cape Town. And he said, hey, chief, how are you? Fine. Carno, let's have tea. And then I met him again on the plane a few weeks later. And he says, I'm ready now to come to you. So the last word is to say, you become yourself and people will catch on. But if you are fake, it will catch up with you. Now, I mean, there's a chap called Bongo. I insulted him for years about corruption and he was found not guilty. And I said, I'm in trouble. He comes to my show and he was there like 3 hours before the show. And I said, no, we're only starting at 8 and it was 5 o'clock and he was already sitting in the reception. And I said, yeah, he's coming for me today. And he said something very interesting. He says, we hated you at the beginning until we realized that you criticize everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be factional and what. If you do something stupid, it doesn't matter who you may be the president, you may be the Reserve Bank governor, you mm-hmm. may be former finance minister.
No sacred cows.
I'll tell you, you are being silly.
That's
but
what
I
need.
Think it's also in the fact that you also afford them the opportunity to come on the show
and explain
have the
themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
and because it's TV, they come.
I love it. No, JJ, thank you so much. Lovely to have you here. And
wonderful.
thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me. But don't wake me up so early.
No, I know.
Couldn't I have done this on Zoom?
No.
Next time.
It's much better, man. Next it's much time. Better. And I like chemistry.
But Zoom, you just use the whole show on Zoom.
I know.
Yeah. Next time you invite me, I'll come happily on Zoom.
All right, done deal.
Yeah, all right.
No problem.
Thank you,
everybody. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have an excellent Thursday.
High five. Cliffcentral.com.